Blog Talk Radio. Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Please, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight are my co-hosts, Kim and Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, an entrepreneur, a writer, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Kim's a beautiful woman as well. She's a divorced mother of two. She will share the secrets that she has heard men utter about love, relationships, and marriage. And she's learned this from being a topless dancer in a gentleman's club. She's also a hairdresser. Also, my daughter Shauna will be joining us tonight. We have a very exciting topic. The call-in number, and we do love when you call in, is 646-929-0958. And we're posing the question, is it better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all? And what have we learned from these past relationships, and how can we use this knowledge to ensure that our current or future relationships will flourish and grow? Now, I know we all take our little independent polls, and I did get some emails from different clients today, and they seem to have a lot of different opinions of it. And one of my clients said, we all love and we all lose. Invariably, it hurts. It's a bitch. It's something vodka won't fix, but to love, wow, it's something that keeps you smiling at night and laughing in the day. So does the actual being in love and those moments of really high that we get from loving and those moments of joy and bliss, do they compensate for sometimes the months and years of pain that can accompany the ending of relationship? Now, from studies, they say it usually takes between 5 months and 5 years to get over a broken heart. So with that little bit of information, I know, Kim, you said you were talking to some people today.
Yes.
Anybody have an opinion or two?
I would say I've asked this question, obviously, for the last week or so, and everybody was pretty positive. They said, yes, it was better to have loved than, you know, never to have loved at all. Depending on where they were in the breakup, whether it be a week, a month, a year, and their phases of anger, some people say, oh, I wish I never effing met that person or whatever it is, you know. I think we've all gone through that at one point or another. And my basic response was, you never really lose the love, because everybody that you've ever loved has a little piece of your heart. And they're always, their little initial is on your heart, and you'll never lose that memory, and if you hold on to the good memory of love, then, you know, it's easier to get past, I suppose.
Yeah, and being a person who talks to dead people on a regular basis, the biggest regret they have is that they didn't love enough. They don't regret the love they had. They don't regret any of that. They do regret if their behaviors ruined a relationship, but they don't regret ever having loved. So I think one of the saddest things is to have clients who are in their 40s and they've never had an intense relationship. They've never been in love. They've had casual dating and done an awful lot of that, but they've never actually been in love. So, you know, I think all of us learn a lot from being in love. We learn a lot from love that doesn't work, and we learn a lot about ourselves. If our behaviors are the ones that made it not work, maybe we have to learn to control our temper, or maybe we have to learn to be nicer people, or maybe we learn to stop having people walk all over us. So we all learn from the ending of a relationship. And it does take a while to get over one. And Nicole, you've been in love. You felt it was worth all the pain that happened afterwards?
Absolutely.
You know, would you do it again?
I wouldn't do anything any differently.
Right, and that's a really important thing, that she would still do that.
Well, you know, I mean, even though people, you know, can try to dedicate their lives to each other, and even though not all relationships are meant to last, you really have to look at it in the sense that everything that you go through, everything that you gain, everything that you lose is taking you to the next step in your life. So even though me and on my last serious relationship, even though we were not meant to be, and even though, you know, there were some, definitely a few tears shed, and there was definitely some moments of not niceness, I think I can definitely say that having gone through the experience, I gained a lot. I think having gone through the experience, so did she. And it both took us to the paths that we needed to be on today. So, you know, even though things at that point didn't turn out as, you know, we once thought it would years ago when we began, the way that it ended was just meant to be.
Right.
So,
One of my clients named Dave had said this, wrote in this, "It's worse to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all," and it has dot, 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 "until you love again." And I thought, wasn't that a wonderful sentiment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, when you're in the midst of a heartbreak, you're not so sure it feels great. But when you blessed and granted another love, hopefully a higher love, because you've learned from your mistakes, it can feel wonderful again. So during the time of heartbreak, I think, person may, you know, sometimes, you know, the hardest part about being a tarot card reader is I do deal with broken hearts on an everyday basis. And, you know, recently I had a client that was really hysterical and really angry at having been in love. And she was in that really angry, ugly state. And, you know, that's really hard to hear and witness when, you know, I have to hear this on an everyday basis. But somewhere along the line, a year, 6 months, 2 years later, when those same clients come back and said, "You were right, I have this wonderful love now," and you sort of get them through the worst of it and get them to learn the lessons and then earn this higher love, that's really nice. So, you know, it depends on what part, of, you know, if they're just recently in that really high part of hurt, they may wish, I never met this person. But later on, I think all of us pretty much bless those people who've come into our lives. And I think that's an important thing. So I did have a few other emails here. Most of the people were basically pretty much saying they would definitely do it again. One of my clients said, "I think it's better to have loved and lost. I talk from my own experience. I understood many things during that the week after, and later on, as I really, the years have gone by, I don't regret a second spent with her or the end of it." So again, it's the time frame, you know, right afterwards, we all feel pretty lousy. Kim, you had a heartbreak, and, you know, your mother has just passed away, and you loved her too, and she's lost. Not just romantic love, you know, any person we love and we lose, it's very painful. But, you know, so you've had two really, you know, painful letting goes. Do you regret loving either one of these people?
No, not at all. I mean, the love is still there. It'll always be there. It doesn't just go away. You know, even, you know, I've never, you know, been truly deeply in love with too many people, but everybody that's been in my life for any length of time, I've loved them. I mean, the love is never gone. I even had an ex-boyfriend call me today from 25 years ago, and
wow,
we still maintain the friendship, you know. You know, he asked me ridiculous questions, but other than that, we know we care about each other still, and the love will always be there. And I think as long as there wasn't anything too, you know, catastrophic, that you can get over anything and just hold on to the good things and let go of the bad things.
Right, and that's the whole point. And in step 19 of the book, Grant Me a Higher Love, we talk about the eighth golden rule of love. You know, if two people meet and then separate, know there were powerful lessons to be learned in their communion and still more powerful lessons to be learned in their separation. So we have to trust the destiny that brought two people together and the fate that drove them apart. If you're a person who's never going to learn lessons in life, then losing love is going to be just a painful thing that you just can't wait to put a Band-Aid on it, and you're going to go on Match.com or, you know, go on the Internet to replace that person as quickly as possible because you don't want to do the grieving process, then I think you're going to bypass some of the lessons that we need to learn. Mainly, we learned to be more spiritual. At the end of a relationship, you can open your heart to great, great feelings of compassion and spirituality and seeking deeper answers and reading books to try to figure out what went wrong, what happened, so you can grow and learn. Depends how we use the time, you know, during that breakup. And I think, you know, Kim is using it very, very well. And a lot
Thank
of people,
you.
I know a lot of my clients when I'm
becoming very powerful with all my knowledge.
It's true. And it'll all be there to help you in the next relationship.
And, you know, when you said, you know, when you break up and you go on Match, I mean, I did try to date and stuff. It really wasn't helping. I was trying to kind of fake it until, you know, somebody came along. And I decided that probably be in my best interest to just take the time out and really get to know exactly what I want, know myself outside of a relationship, and really figure out what I want. And I think jumping into something else, you don't have the opportunity to figure out what you want. It's just, you know, replacing another person, and no person can replace another person.
Unless it's the third rung of interchangeable Donald Trump love, then you could pretty much replace the person in 2 seconds, but that's very narcissistic love. It's about money, power, looks, all the things that can rise and fall. But for most of us, if we're not on that particular path, it's going to take us time to replace. We are looking for soulmate love, hopefully, heart, soul, mind, body love. I did read something on the Internet that someone wrote about. Is it, when they were asked the question, is it better to have loved than lost? And boy, you know, listen to what Peter had to say. Is it better to have loved than never to have loved at all? It's crap. 10 years on after divorce, just look at me now. Paying expensive child maintenance despite being a Disney dad. I have a teenager that doesn't want to see me anymore. I am now an alcoholic, depressed 24/7, and have too many negative issues and baggage. I just regret the silly falling in love concept big time. It has not been a growing experience at all. I believe it would now be emotionally and financially better. I would be emotionally and financially better off if I never found love. Love is just another stupid drug. Oh,
well, you can't really grow if you're drunk all the time, Peter. But that goes a little deeper than that. And maybe you should focus on happier things in life and maybe decide that you could have some things you need to change in order for love to be attracted into your life. With an attitude like that, you're never going to have it.
With an attitude like that, it's no wonder his child doesn't want to have anything to do with him.
No, that's not nice.
No, I'm not here to be nice. I'm here to be real. And the fact of the matter is that if you're going to sit there and complain about paying for your children, okay, and you're going to sit there and you're going to complain about still providing for your children regardless of the loss of your marriage, then that's a definite problem, which means that you're taking the problems of the marriage and you're pretty much projecting them onto your children by having bitter feelings about having to provide for them, which I'm sure his children don't appreciate.
And maybe his children don't want to be around drunk dad. There
okay.
you go.
Exactly. And secondly, if your children don't want to be around you, then maybe you need to look at your own behavior and to maybe do something that will cause your children to want to be around you. And maybe if you're getting drunk all the time, maybe that's something that your kids just prefer not to witness. So like I say on almost every show, if you want to find happiness and you want to find joy, you have to turn within. And basically, at the loss of any relationship, there's always two people involved in that, and it's never just one person. So maybe Peter needs to take a nice inward look to see why his outer circumstances are the way that they are.
Well, it does say right here, it's when he said, it has not been a growing experience at all.
Well, you can't really grow. Well, no, actually, it's a very, very telling growing experience for him. He's growing. It's just in the wrong direction.
Mm. Right.
You
and,
know?
That's an important thing. If it's not a growing experience at all, you're not learning the lessons. It's not to be bitter. He obviously doesn't seem to be taking any responsibility for what may have brought him to this point, you know.
Well, it's always everybody else's fault.
And, of course, he's saying love is just another stupid drug, so that's a pretty hard thing. So every person does have their own feelings about falling in love and whether it's better to have loved and lost than never loved at all. I personally would feel that every relationship I've had, I've definitely learned from. So that's an important thing. Now, in the book, Grant Me Higher Love, we do talk about many of the lessons that we're here to learn at the ending of a relationship. And sometimes the loss of a person that we've been involved with isn't just so much that losing them has brought us so low. Sometimes it just brings up all the other losses that we've had. So you're compounding loss upon loss upon loss. And it's particularly hard for someone to understand that they've been in a really bad marriage and then that, you know, that marriage falls apart and yet they find themselves really despondent and really sad. It's oftentimes that they're mourning for other things, the loss of a parent they never mourned for or other things. So sometimes that period is made all the more horrible by the fact that we have other issues we haven't dealt with. So that's an important thing to deal with. So, again, we're asking the question, is it better to have loved and lost than never loved at all? And everyone seems to have their own opinion on it. You know, I do have some other people who've said, emailed me some things. He said, if you've never loved at all, you won't go through pain or anything, and you won't need to be healed, but you also won't feel the wonderful feelings that you feel when you're in love. So I think mostly it's balancing the two things. I mean, a lot of women who have married men that are really pretty bad men in every way always say, well, I got my children from it. So they don't regret loving that man because they have their children. And that has brought more love into their life. So if you've, you know, if you've been married to someone and you have a child that you love very much, well, I don't think you're going to regret that love all that much. Now, I know Sean is on the line. I'm wondering if she has any opinions on this because this was her topic.
Well, I absolutely think that it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. And I defy anybody who's ever loved to, you know, say otherwise, really.
Right, because we learn something. We experience it. It's brought us moments of wonderful passion and wonder and laughter and happiness. So when a relationship ends, the hard part is to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. And, you know, I've had clients that lied in bed for like 2 months straight over the loss of a loved one. And, you know, if the person has died, you can understand that. It takes a while to get over that. It's hard to get out of bed and pick ourselves up. And, you know, I have heard people say, I really regret this. I hate this. I can't deal with this pain. I want it to end. And unfortunately, the pain isn't going to end until we go all the way through those deep feelings. And one of the comforting things is that love never leaves us. If someone has died, they are frantic to get us a message. They do want to talk to us. They do want to commune to us. And if we're paying attention, we will hear what they have to say. So that's, you know, one of the things that I've learned. True love never dies. It's always going to be there. Another lesson, sometimes people are very dependent on another person. They haven't learned to stand on their own two feet. And if you don't know how to stand on your own two feet, if you've been financially totally dependent on someone or emotionally totally dependent or in any way totally dependent, when that love leaves, you're going to be all the more devastating. said by that experience. So learning to stand on our own two feet and being able to take care of ourselves is probably an important lesson. So, you know, I know for most of the time when people have a broken heart, I see my clients for the first 2 to 6 months really being pretty devastated, sometimes needing tranquilizers or antidepressants to get through it, sometimes needing to work out a lot or taking some time off from work. But eventually they all do come round to a state of peace if they work toward that. And, Kim, do you think you're at that state of peace yet?
Why does this always come back to me? And my state of peace. I would say I'm at a state of peace, yes.
And how long did this
take? Oh, don't you dare lie.
No,
Kim has her peaceful days. She has peaceful moments.
Yes. I don't know what you mean as far as a state of peace. Peace with the... I'm going to be very selective of my words here. But
have you accepted? Have you come to
acceptance? Yes, I've come to acceptance.
Okay. With acceptance comes peace. You know, when we keep trying to fight it, when people keep trying to, you know, some if you're a control freak, it's much harder to let go of things, and you're not in control. And if you want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you, it can be one of the most angst-filled times. It's for some people, they become stalkers, or they become people who can't let go, and you know, texting or calling.
Oh, if Kim liked to drive more, she'd be a stalker.
I'm a lazy stalker. We've already established this.
You're a stalker.
I'm a lazy stalker. I don't like to go without a mile radius.
Kim has it in her to be a stalker, but she doesn't like to drive very far. So it kind of delays the fact that she wants to stalk.
Oh, that's funny. But
which is not true. I am not a stalker.
No, I'm only kidding.
I just don't like to drive.
All right. So here we are learning some lessons when love ends, and Kim, what are some of the lessons you've learned from a broken heart?
Mostly more things about myself. And in the parting or ending of any relationship in my adult years, I would say there was a good 4 of them there, 5 perhaps. Everyone's progressively gotten better, I would say, and I learned so much more of what I don't want. I know that sounds like kind of ludicrous, but, you know, all these lists I have of all the gentlemen that have been in my life and the positives and the negatives, and I say, well, I'll take all the positives and just put them on the list, and now I know what I want and what I don't want. And it makes you stronger and almost wiser. If you do have the capacity to be by yourself, which I recommend for a short period of time and not jumping into anything, but I think most of all I learned exactly what I want. And how good can that be? And I'm patiently waiting.
Okay, patiently waiting is good. And during that time you're patiently waiting, of course you're getting to know yourself. So the end of a relationship is a really good time to get to know ourselves and to look back upon the relationship and remember the good times and learn to let go of some of the pain. It doesn't end overnight. It does take time. And again, sometimes we have to learn different lessons about ourselves that perhaps contributed to the ending of a relationship. And it can be really painful. I was talking to my brother today, since we have to connect quite a lot with my parents, both dying. And he had 2 wives, both who he loved, by the way. But he learned a lot of dysfunctional behavior, you know, from my parents, and he thought things were acceptable that you could do. And this is a man who has a lot of regrets about especially the ending of his marriage 3 years ago. And although he confessed to not being a very good husband and cheating on his wife, for the last 3 years he hasn't been with anybody else, trying to get his wife back. And I thought, isn't that the irony of life, you know? And he's learned a lot in these 3 years. He's tried to be the kind of man that she would want back, and he's had to do a lot of soul searching, and it's been a painful 3 years for him. But he has stood on his own two feet during these 3 years, and I was really quite proud of, you know, the things that he's been doing. And so, again, we all have to take responsibility, and he does take responsibility for why his marriage didn't work. And, you know, again, now she's a little bit afraid, and she's afraid to put 2 feet in this relationship with him because they have to gain back the trust. But again, if they hadn't separated, their marriage would have gone on in that sort of same destructive pattern, and neither one of them would have learned something. So endings of relationships don't mean it's forever. Sometimes we do separate, and it gives us time to learn who we are and get back together. If we don't do that, it does prepare us to be a better person in the next relationship. So the learn, you know, you always have something to learn. So, again.
And let me remind people that people do come into our lives, even if it's for a moment, a season, for a reason. And sometimes it's difficult to see the reason in the parting if it hasn't happened amicably, let's say. And there's all anger involved. You know, maybe 3 months, 6 months, a year down the line, you might actually be able to see, you know, through the smoke and mirrors and say, well, this is the reason. And I have to be grateful for that reason.
Right. And depending upon the depth of love, you know, if you really love someone with your heart, soul, mind, and body, and they're not in your life, it's going to hurt a lot more than if it was just a physical relationship, or if it was, you know, a friendship and wasn't that great a love affair to begin with. The depth of love may determine how long it takes to heal. And but the ironic part of that is people who really love deeply are the ones who come to the place in which they don't regret it. You know, because it was such a life-altering experience. A great love affair is a great life-altering experience. It can change the way we look at life in general. Most people who've had a great love no longer can settle for a more superficial relationship. They find it difficult to just be with someone to have sex and not make love to. It changes.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
But if you never had that, then you would go on with one.
Yes, it would have been much easier.
No, you know what? Kim and I were talking about that the other day. We were sitting in the backyard and we were looking up at the stars, and, you know, we were just talking, and we both had made commentary about how years ago we would have never been, you know, we would have never not had a relationship by this point, you know, in our lives, that we would not have stayed single as long as we had, and that we would have just gone out and gotten laid and gotten to something else, and that was it. And all of a sudden I turned to Kim, I said, doesn't enlightenment suck sometimes?
Right, of course, because you know that this is not going to be something, you know, that you can't just now have another casual relationship. And also because the more you learn about yourself and about love, the quicker a person who's not going to be a person who's going to love the way you know is the way you need to be loved. Relationships may only last a minute now. You know, it might have taken you 6 months to figure that out. So
a lot of people don't really understand that.
Nope.
I mean, I'm surrounded by people that just don't understand, like, how are you going so long? And I said, well, first of all, I'm not going to die. And I'm just patiently waiting for the right person, and I don't see why that's a problem. It could take... God, I hope it doesn't take any longer.
Let's not give love attraction any number here.
You know, I mean, it could take a week. Who knows? It could take 3 weeks, 3 years. You know, at this point, I kind of have to have a sense of humor about it.
I feel like you're too crazy now. I think I might have to take a few steps back on the path.
Well, I have Leah wrote me an email, and it says, love is the best and worst feeling in the world. When you lose it, it feels like it would be less painful to cut your heart out of your chest with a spoon.
Whoa.
Hey, I like that. I use that line all the time.
It's physically and mentally soul-destroying. I will never recover or let myself love again, for I never want to feel anything like this pain again.
So I actually
emailed her back, because this is not my client. It's someone, and so I don't know this person really personally.
She deserves to have love and allow herself to love and be loved.
Well, I did email back and say, well, how long have you been broken up with this person? By your pain, I would venture it's only a few days or weeks. And she said it's been 2 weeks. So
Okay. So that's still very new.
Right. So I'm sure she will feel differently and, you know, maybe 6 months, a year, 2 years from now.
But I would also like to remind everybody of one very important thing. Yes, we're talking about is it better to have loved than lost. However, everybody that is saying that it's not better to have had that love in their lives is equating love to only pain. And whether a relationship is consistent in your life or whether or not it's ended, that whole experience, yes, a portion of it may have been painful, but the entire experience, the entire love portion of the experience was not pain. And just because sometimes a relationship ends in tears does not mean that the universe or that another person isn't well on its way to bringing that smile and that joy back into your life. So just because it hurts to lose love doesn't really mean that all love is going to be that way. Sometimes you have to lose love in your life in order to bring on the next great love and to make room for the next great love that should be in your life.
And the lessons you learn, you get to keep.
Yes, they are your lessons.
You know, it's not so much about losing the love that was currently in your life. It's about losing the love that maybe was not supposed to be in your life to make room for the love that God had intended for you to have.
Now, Shauna, you had the ending of a relationship, and I know you've learned a million lessons. Do you want to share a few of the lessons you've learned through your pain and through your...
You can't look outside yourself necessarily to be complete. You really have to be complete with yourself. You can't look to someone else to complete you, you know?
And that's a big lesson, that we can stand on our own 2 feet, and that's important.
Loving unconditionally, that, you know, it's not about getting something, it's about giving. And if all you can give a person is the space to live the life that they want to live without you, then you have to give that to them if you really do love them.
Right.
Love them enough to let them know.
Right.
That's the I know. Poor Kim just went, she just cut her heart out with a spoon.
I know.
No, I mean,
I understand.
No, but it is hard to let go, and I think we learn the mistakes that we've perhaps made, that if we could do it again, we might love the person better. I mean, that's what I heard from my brother today. It's like, boy, if I could just go back and do it again, and, you know, seeing all the mistakes he made and realizing his depth of love for her that he took for granted, and, you know, in this time realizing that what a good person she is and a good woman has been a growing experience for him. And, you know, once again, taking responsibility for what we've done. And sometimes it's just people need to move on, or they feel a need for that you're not the right person for them, even though we might feel we're the right person for them. That can be really painful too. So each relationship is different, and the dynamics of it are different, and the lessons learned will be different. And it does take a little bit of time to step back and look. And this was an email that I got. It said, "It's better to have loved and lost than to never loved at all. I've always said to myself that I was never going to fall in love. Now, 3 years later that I have loved and lost, I'm hurt, and I will never forget him and the butterflies I used to get when I saw him or heard his voice or if someone just mentioned his name. It will only bring a smile on my face now that he's gone, because it was so powerful, and I will remember him. And I've never loved someone like I loved him. I don't regret it and never will. I don't regret all these tears, because the thoughts of what we had is stronger than anything. But remember, what doesn't kill you will only make you stronger."
And no, Nicole, I did not write that.
I was wondering, because it didn't have a name here. Are you sure it wasn't?
No,
it wasn't.
I just put the phone down. I was like, "Did you write that?" She's like, "No."
But I'm glad to know that there's other people that feel like me, and I'm not alone in all this. So I'm not extraordinary enough that I'm the only one who has felt this, and everybody that has gone through this, there are so many people that have gone through this, and you're not alone. So talk about it. Give us a call.
Well, of course, a lot of people will, a lot of my clients, when they have lost a parent when they're very young, 8 or 9 years old, oftentimes those people do not want to love someone very deeply anymore. They never want to feel that pain. And so they always tend to stay with very superficial levels of love, that if that person leaves them, it doesn't really matter. And when they are offered really deep soulmate love, heart, soul, mind, body, all that abandonment kicks in, that feeling, if I love this person and they die in me, I'm just going to be devastated. So they can't go there. And those are hard clients to counsel and get through it. But once they're aware of why they may be running from love, and I make them aware of it, sometimes they can say, okay, I'd rather love this person and risk the loss of them if something should happen. And so if we're going to try to insulate ourselves from pain, there is no shortage of pain on this earth. You're just going to live in a bubble. And, you know, the younger generation oftentimes goes years and years and years without a relationship because they've been hurt and they don't date and they decide they don't want to go there. And that's really sad because, you know, there are many different soulmates for us walking on this planet. And if we've made a mess of one or we've lost one because they've died or for whatever reason, we will be granted another love. We just have to get out there and try. I do think we have a caller on the line. Nicole,
we do.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
That's great.
We are talking about love and loss. And
here's another take that you haven't been mentioning, is that what about widow and widowers who are, you know, totally in love and then their husband or their wives get in a car accident and get killed or, you know, whatever, tragedy. And they never get betrayed. They were never sold out. You know, it's just that life circumstances just took their loved one away from them without all the negativity of the deceit and so forth. They still feel the pain, the loss, and the emptiness. So,
well, that was my client that I spoke to tonight. You know, her husband had died 5 months ago, and I was able to talk to her right after he died. And she is in a state of extreme pain and extremely sad. And, you know, she called me tonight for a reading because, you know, the holidays are coming and she's just so sad. And he said to her, I want you to get rid of my things. They're still around the house. But you can keep my coat that you wore today because it kept you warm. And she was stunned that he knew that she wore his coat today. And why would he come through to tell her that, that his love is still there and that he hasn't left her and that he loves her? And, yes, yeah, she is in deep pain. And what's been channeled to me is when we love well and we lose someone who we've loved well, they can gift us with another person to love. And he will gift her with another person to love. She's not ready for that. She can't go there yet. It's too painful. But in due time, she will have that again in her life. And it is very hard to lose people via death when you don't have time to say goodbye. And that's one of the best parts of my job as a romance whisperer. I do get to deliver the messages that weren't said. I do get to have these great people who loved each other so well still be able to commune. And, of course, he comes in her dreams to see her all the time. So he hasn't left her. So true love never dies. It is there. And, again, if we're going to try to insulate ourselves from, you know, loving someone that could die, you know, we should probably never have kids because, you know, God forbid something happened to our kids, and then maybe we shouldn't have parents and maybe we shouldn't have, you know, friends. There's a point in which we will all lose people that we love to death. You know, they will die on us, and they will find a way to deliver a message, whether it's via a song you hear or some way they will get those messages. But it is a very hard thing, very hard.
And how do love's loss not influence the ability to love the next time or skew it, or is that the word, in such a way that you might be more apprehensive? I mean, you carry the sins of the previous lover in your pocket, in the back of your mind? And
you know, that's funny you should say that, TJ, because I just discussed this with somebody, and I said every relationship is different. Every individual is different, and you cannot bring the baggage from one relationship to the next. And when you do give yourself some ample amount of time to get over a relationship, it's easier to let go of the baggage.
And I think if it's been someone who you had a really good relationship with and they died, and for those people, it's okay to still love that person. You don't have to stop loving them. You're not going to stop loving them. But your heart is big enough to love another person as well. And if the person that you're with is a good enough person to understand that, that love doesn't subtract from you, and that person is going to go on loving that mate that passed on and crossed over. And that mate is usually the one who brought the next soulmate, so you might as well bless them. They've brought you together.
But what I was talking about wasn't the widow or widower. I was talking about the other situation where, you know, where the trust factor might get trampled over. So don't you go into your next, you know, not trusting any?
Well, that's an issue within yourself.
Yeah, and that's
but I think
you're putting on, projecting onto another person. So
it is common, though, for women or men who have been cheated on by their last mate to be very suspicious of and very mistrustful. And I address that in my book, that someone who might not have been jealous when they were married and their mate did cheat on them, later on, jealousy can surface very strong in the next relationship. And that other person is definitely paying the price. And that's just showing some unhealed issue. You know, all of these things that come up are unhealed issues that have to be addressed. And if we acknowledge them, we can get through it. But definitely the next person pays for that.
Every relationship is different, Cindy. Every single last relationship, no person is the same as any other person. And I do believe that everybody should get a clean slate.
Yeah, but isn't there also the thing where you always seem to date the same type of people?
Yeah, patterns. There are patterns.
Not
the
at all.
The pattern thing, you know, we always seem to have.
Well,
you
have a friend
really
who always
seems. Some people with glasses or whatever, or people. Mm. I mean, just physically, but I mean where, you know, they're.
People do have a type, you know, that they're attracted to.
No,
right.
All mine have been very different.
Yeah,
well,
sometimes.
All very good looking, though.
There you go.
That's a type.
No, I mean, I know what TJ is saying as far as people tending to pick up on different, or rather on similar characteristics in the people that they meet. I mean, Kim, even you and I have gone through people that we've been with in the past, and we're able to tie them all together in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
You know, I mean, yes, they were very, very different people, but ironically enough, these very, very different people all had something similar about
yes,
them.
Yes, all my men have been emotionally unavailable.
Really? You too?
And why
yeah, no.
is that? You know.
Because Kim was emotionally unavailable.
Yeah, well.
Because
okay.
she wasn't ready to accept that love, and we've discussed this, you know, many times. So in a way, what TJ is talking about is basically what happened with Kim. Only Kim didn't suffer through a death in order to see her or have to realize that. The bottom line is your life experience has an ability to mold you into the person that you want to be, or to kind of just change you just as a whole and the way that you want to live your life. That experience can be the same whether it's getting into a car accident, whether it's getting another job, or whether it's the loss of a loved one. Any experience that you have in your life can change you. Some things may jade you. Some things may make you see the more positive things. It's how you deal with these different interruptions of life that make life worth living. You know, so whether or not your loved one has died and you didn't have to get jaded at the thought of love, your loved one has died, yes, you may go through some trust issues. Yes, you may never, ever want to betray that love that you had. But the bottom line is that we all have this life energy that is within us, and that energy basically feeds on our need and our desire to be loved. And to not invite love back into your life is to stunt that energy. You know, and I think that eventually, even if you have lost a person.
Yeah. Nicole, but isn't like when love dies, I mean, that's the word, you know, it's a death. It's
love
more,
does,
I mean, you go in
love,
that shot.
Love never dies.
Love
is murder.
Yeah, exactly.
Love never dies. Love never dies. Love is
murder
because every single
homicide love.
But here's the thing, though, and here's what I mean by that. Every single person that loves, that love, yes, may die because they allow that relationship to go way past where it should be. And they get to the point where they no longer have that you know, that love for one another. They get to the point where they hate each other, which is why love dies. If people could realize, you know, that they don't have to hate each other in order to leave each other, then guess what? They'll still maintain that appreciation for one another, and then that love won't necessarily die, but it'll just change into a friendship love instead of a romantic love. It's when people belabor the point and they sit there and they beat the dead horse and they actually just stay in a relationship way too long. That's when love dies, and it's not really the love that's dying. It's really them murdering what could just be an altered state of love instead of, you know, the love that they were used to before.
Yeah, but the point I was going to make is that, you know, what probably happens is you go into the same sort of mourning that you go into when someone does die.
You do. It is a loss.
When love
you go through the stages of loss,
But also
And the funny thing is that sometimes when love dies, it dies more for one person than to, let's say, someone who's, like, wanting it to die or killing it or moving on, kills it to move on. You know, not everyone goes when, you know, like, when love ends, someone, you know, feels like they're dead, and sometimes someone else doesn't feel anything. You know,
well,
I mean, that's
part of
the reality, right?
Sometimes.
I mean, some people just move on to another love, and they jump from one horse to another, and the other person sits there and bemoans it goes into a nuclear winter for 3 or 4 years where they can't even get out of the chair.
Well, everybody deals with any kind of loss differently, you know, and that's
right.
What I was saying before as far as people just, it's how we react to these different interruptions in life. But the bottom line is you only have control over you. So it doesn't really matter if you can't get out of a chair and the person that just broke up with you is already happy-go-lucky and moving on. It doesn't matter what the other person is doing. What matters is what you do. And what matters is how you want your life to be after that love is gone. And if you want your life to be misery and nuclear winter, then that's exactly what's going to happen for you. But if you actually want to have joy and happiness in your life, then you're going to make yourself available for happiness and joy to come into your life. And that may take some time. It could take a week. It could take a month. It could take a year. But either way, if you want happiness and joy, it's going to come to you.
It will.
So what should you do?
One way or another.
I have a very good friend in Nicole.
Learning the lessons is very important. Learning the lessons in the ending of the relationship and taking responsibility or coming to acceptance, it's pretty usually looking inward. And once you do the inner homework and learn the lessons, you will be able to move on. It's a long process for some people, a shorter process for others. But sharing that the end of relationship is a death, when I read tarot cards, the death card represents not only a physical death of a person dying, it does represent the ending of something, either it could be a relationship or a job. So the death card is used for the end of a relationship in tarot card reading, by the way. Interesting enough. So it is seen as a death.
That is interesting.
You know, those of you who are not familiar with the tarot deck, the death card is that. That's why when the death card comes up, sometimes people freak out because it never portends a good thing, but it more often than not is not talking about an actual physical death. It's talking about a relationship. So
it could be a good thing ultimately if it's, you know, to the, you know, the benefit of everyone that something ends ultimately.
Well, that's why if you're trying to figure out whether you should stay in a relationship or go, I usually tell people to begin to pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself, and watch what the universe begins to do. And, you know, sometimes we don't have all the answers. And if we allow the universe to guide us and help us, we will usually see why we should be staying in it or we should be leaving it. And those are hard decisions. But the end of a relationship is usually something that we all remember that period of time as being painful. That's why there's so many love songs about the ending of a relationship. I mean,
yes, there is.
You know, it must be, you know, and we tend to
Well, that's just because it's easy.
Right. I mean, that kind
it's
of
always thing. Easy to concentrate on the negative than on the positive. It's harder to find the positive in things somehow. Most love songs are only about the loss of love because it's just the easier thing to focus on.
Right. So we all have lessons to learn at the end of a relationship. The biggest relationship that could end for someone, the one they love the most that was really important, can bring some of the greatest lessons. And those are ones that we will all explore in our own self. Sometimes a person is not rejecting you. This is a big lesson. They can be rejecting the higher love you have to offer. There's a soulmate love that's heart, soul, mind, body, does demand we be the best person we can, does demand we heal our issues. We can't be an addict. We can't be an evil, mean person. If we drag that love down the ladder of love to toxic or mediocre love, then we can, of course, not heal. So if you did have a soulmate love or a love that started as a soulmate and it is ending in something less than that, it may very well be that that person just is rejecting that higher love. And at that point, it's not soulmate love. It would be best to walk away. See if you can, in walking away, either learn to come back as healed people or seek a higher love again. I mean, that's a really big lesson I have to teach my clients. Sometimes it's just not about you. That person just can't heal. And that's pretty
they're just not that into love.
Yeah, they're just not that into love. You'd rather have a lower love. Sorry. So that's a big one. So I know that's a big lesson that I had to learn, someone rejecting a higher love. Shauna, what do you think you had to learn? There must be a big lesson there.
What was that?
At the end of a your relationship, what was it that you think really you had to learn?
I have these song lyrics in my head from this topic, and I just want to recite them.
Okay, sure.
One from the singer-songwriter Liz Phair, "Don't You Know Nobody Parts, Two Rivers Met."
Right.
So people don't, if you really love, you never really part. And also from the band Live, "The greatest of teachers won't hesitate to leave you there by yourself, chained to fate."
Wow.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Right, and it's really, there are sometimes, again, there are lessons to be learned in a person being with you, and there can be even greater lessons to learn in that person leaving you and or you walking away. So those are things that we will all, you know, sit in our own private space and try to figure out what they were. And sometimes we realize that some people we might want to love, they may not be able to move beyond their dysfunction. They may not be able to break away from the ties that bind them, whether it's a marriage that they're not happily married to, but they can't find the answers out of it. You know, to end a marriage is an earthquake, and it's a long process, and it's not easy to end a long-term relationship. But for some people, they will never be able to do that. They won't lose that love, but they'll just sort of stay in it that's not there anymore. So those are really hard places to be in.
Cindy, do you think that most people, the most intense love they've had is a marriage, or is it something else?
It can be anything else. No, but
I know it can be, but what do you think, if you were doing statistics, an empirical study, and gathering data, would you think
statistically,
that
there TJ,
really love was a marriage, the love that they married, or was it one of those loves that, you know, like
got away,
handled,
the one
like,
that got away,
they, like a nuclear bomb going off, and then it just, you know, just mushroomed out. You know,
right.
Which one do you think it is? I don't think most people it's marriage. I think it was I think it was another event.
Well, because
it's easy
a lot
to
marriage,
idealize the one that got away. You know.
Right. A lot of love, you know, at this stage of human evolution, a lot of marriages are mediocre love. They're sitcom marriages. Sometimes they love you, sometimes they hate you. It hasn't been the great love, but those people don't even realize there's a great love. Maybe somehow they are being brought a soulmate to sort of show them what that is. Again,
that's interesting. Go on.
So, again, whether that person embraces that soulmate love or goes back to the safety of mediocre love, I would say half the time people run back to mediocre love and reject
soulmate
love.
Well, that's where it's comfortable, Cindy.
Again,
about first? Remember your first love? Remember when you were all in, like, in high school, junior high school, whatever the hell it was, and you were like, you may not even have been, you know, having sex or something. It was pretty intense and this and that, and you didn't know, you know, you're playing with these emotions for the first time.
And we usually
totally
do it better.
The day. I mean, isn't that pretty intense, even more intense than like when you're like 37 or something?
Well, that's because you've never been hurt before.
And first loves are pretty pure. Children do learn, no matter how dysfunctional they may have been raised, that first love, they do know how to love that person.
That's a true love, and then it's pretty you know, I mean, that first time, you know, you're making googly eyes, you walk home with the books, you know, the whole, you know, it's kind of, everyone, most people, not everyone, but it's kind of like it was kind of an innocent type of coming together and experience the first time. And, I mean, that's probably pretty intense.
Well, that's
right?
Why there are
true
some
love.
People who marry
their first
time.
Is that true love, TJ?
And you know what?
About bills, children, homes, cars.
It's puppy love. It's
puppy
love. You know what? But you know what?
Yeah,
if more people could manage
form
to
love it, is it not?
Well,
you know what? If more people could manage to love that way in adulthood, then I think the divorce rate would probably be a lot less.
Right,
because those kids have not been jaded by life yet. They've not been hurt yet. They're just loving out of pure goodness and pure desire. They don't know anything about hurt. They don't know anything about fearing love. They just love because they want to, because it feels good. And in adulthood, after you've been hurt a couple of times, you can't help but let that jade you. So you know what? If you could love more purely, which means that you have to love and forgive yourself,
if you go
as
back
well
to the
as
state,
everybody else that has hurt you.
You go back to the state of innocence, but with some wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, you're not supposed to lose your innocence about love. It is always a gift. It is always it is always meant to be that gift. We sometimes just forget that, you know, and that's the point that when we're younger, sometimes we do manage to love better.
Maybe when you fall in love, you go back to that state of mind you had when you were 14 or 13.
Oh, listen here, you. Let's jump on the bed.
Well, we're not going to fall into love anymore. We're going to jump into love. We're going to go.
Oh, I'm jumping. I'm jumping on the bed off into the the universe.
And I'll be there to pick you up, buddy.
Now, we do have like 3 minutes left. I do want to tell you I will be at
Walt
Whitman's birthplace on Sunday, December 13th from 12 to 4 with other authors. We'll be signing books. It's in West Hills. It's Huntington. It's a great place to go if you've never been there. Walt Whitman himself walks around there, the spirit of him. It's wonderful.
I know. I've seen him.
We're going to have 3 weeks off from our show. Next week we'll be off because, you know, everybody has holiday parties, and then we have, I think it's New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve, so we won't be doing shows then. So this is our last show of a wonderful year, 2009. And we look forward to a higher love in 2010 for everyone. My shout-out is wishing everyone a blessed holiday season, and may this year be filled with a higher love in all your relationships. Shout-out from Kim.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year. A lot can happen in 3 weeks, so stay tuned. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 weeks. And I love you all very much.
Happy Hanukkah to everyone, too. And Nicole?
I just want to thank everybody and say happy holidays to all of our lovely listeners who tune in on a very regular basis to hear us. And Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year to everybody. And may next year bring a lot more joy.
Big hugs and kisses, everybody.
Donnie, is there anything you want to shout out to your friends who are listening?
I just want to thank you, Mom, for doing so much for me and always being there for me.
Well, that's what moms are for, aren't we? And I said the hardest, once you have a child, you know what it is to love, and you put yourself in an arena of great loss. So we mothers, you know.
It really means so much to know that no matter what, you'll always accept me unconditionally. So I want to thank you for that.
You're very welcome. And this, I think, is going to be a wonderful year. 2010 promises to be a wonderful year for those people who are of integrity and hardworking. The universe promises abundance will return. So we know that. And, of course, I've been very blessed to have my two co-hosts doing a wonderful, wonderful
And thank
course.
You, Cindy.
We've
Absolutely.
Gotten so many emails saying, wow, have these girls grown? Boy. So,
yeah, that's what celibacy does for you.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's true. When you, I told you what you said, you can't just go back to superficial when you've had something deeper. So that's probably one of the biggest lessons in having love. You can't go back to a lesser love unless your fear gets in the way. And we're not going to let that happen.
That's
so happy new year, and we'll see you. I think it's January 7th, I think is our next show.
Wow.
And good night, everybody.
Good night. Don't drink and drive. Happy New Year.
Good night.